Hello, welcome to the Monday, December 22nd, 2014 edition of the Sands and Storm Center's Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich, and today I'm recording from Jacksonville, Florida. On Friday, the US CERT, in coordination with Google, did release an announcement that NTP before version 2.4.7 is vulnerable to, among other vulnerabilities, a remote code execution vulnerability. That part, of course, the remote code execution, raises this to critical and something you probably want to patch soon. Now, Google also alluded to the fact that there may be an exploit available. At this point, I haven't seen the exploit yet, haven't had a chance to test it, so not sure how widely available it is, or if it's something that Google has in its lab to demonstrate the vulnerability and it hasn't really sort of released to anybody else yet. Either way, this week, take a look at NTP. I know it's a holiday week for many of you, so this may be a little bit tough to do. Focus on the publicly exposed NTP servers first, of course. Also, apparently, you're only vulnerable if you have auto key authentication enabled in NTPD. In my experience, most people don't bother with any sort of crypto authentication, particular for external exposed NTP servers. So you may have an easy way out here if you're not using auto key. I've seen the patches already over the weekend hit the major Linux distribution. So for most of you, it may be as easy as just doing your apt-get or yum or whatever update and applying this patch. Now, one little twist to this is, and that's something we talked about a couple months ago in conjunction with the NTP denial of service attacks, many stateful firewalls don't get UDP, in particular NTP, right. What happens is that if you have an internal NTP server connecting to an outbound NTP server in order to synchronize their time, your firewall may only allow the outbound connection, but it then also has to allow the inbound connection to reply from that external name server. Many firewalls will not necessarily limit this to one IP address. So if you have an internal name server that talked to an external name server recently, and by recently I mean 1 to 2 minutes ago, then any host on the internet can reply as long as the packet comes from port 123 and is going to port 123. So this little bit of twist to it, make sure that you do an external scan of your infrastructure so you get an accurate count of exposed NTP servers. Also, NTP, of course, is UDP only. It's very likely that the exploit can be spoofed, and with many people using sort of standard public name servers, even if your firewall is doing the right thing, it probably will let the spoofed packet in if it comes from a valid IP address to which you recently connected. And the US CERT released a brief technical description summary of the Sony compromise, including indicators of compromise of software and IP addresses involved. A couple interesting things that sort of stick out. For example, there were listeners on port 195 and 444. So that's certainly something that could be used to scan your own infrastructure to check if you have anything listening on these ports. But probably the most noteworthy part here of this compromise was the destructive component. That's, of course, something we have seen a couple times over the last few years, like in the Saudi Aramco case, for example. So that's certainly something to be prepared of. And probably the only thing really that I would recommend at this point that you change is make sure you have offline backups for a case like this. And talk about destructive malware. In a report out of Germany, a steel mill was hit by malware, and this malware in the end did result in the destruction of a steel furnace. Now, it's not really clear whether that was intentionally or not, but apparently the entry point was, as usual, a spear phishing attack that then led to essentially an unstable system that caused multiple failures and in the end an uncontrolled shutdown of that furnace. There may overall be a trend here to move more from extortion and data leakage and stealing attacks to these more destructive attacks, which of course should be worrying, because in that case it's not just a matter of liability but also of actual damage to data and the operations of a company. Well, that's it for today. Thanks and for listening. We will have a short week here with the holidays coming up. I'll at least have one more podcast tomorrow, maybe one on Wednesday. We'll see how it goes and if there is enough to talk about. Thanks again for listening and talk to you again tomorrow. Bye.